Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
And that's what Out of the Roof with Matt Prime. And I'll tell you, folks, Wad, it is always a fun adventure to come in here to this theater. Yep. Like, you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes you come in and the couch is broken. Yep. Sometimes there's no chairs. Sometimes there's no curtains, like tonight.
Yeah.
So you just have to cower backstage, scared that somebody is going to see
well,
you.
Well, what's nice is we do a show in a black box theater.
Okay.
Currently, there's some play running here, so they had to take out all the shit. There's
sorry, did you say play, there's some play running or there's some blade running? Going on here.
Play.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to get you excited.
All right. I was hoping somebody was hunting robots.
Oh, my God.
Hey. I don't know. I've never seen that movie. Is that what they do? Do they hunt robots?
Yeah, they definitely do.
Oh, okay. What about in the next one in Blade Runner 2049? Do they hunt 2049 robots?
No.
Okay.
You should check out the movie, though.
Not interested, but thank you. I only watch documentaries.
That's not true.
No, it is. You know, another funny thing that happened while we were backstage, at least this was funny to me, was I looked over at one point and Pete had taken his glasses off, which I don't know if I've ever seen you with your glasses off before, and you were stretching your eyes like they'd been stuck under glasses for years.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I have been wearing glasses for a long time, yeah.
Well, you were putting on your Comic Book Club sweatshirt.
My hoodie.
Your hoodie.
Because I promote the show, unlike you.
Right, buddy. We got into this beforehand, and Pete was like, you don't promote the show, and I'm like, I'm literally on the show. Talking about our website and stuff. But do you usually put it over your head with your glasses on?
No.
All right, I guess I've never looked over at the right time before.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, this is weird.
I'm just saying you have beautiful eyes.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Justin, hurry back. Alex is getting weird.
Is this a live feed to Justin, yeah. Our co-host? Yeah. It's going right to him. All right. Justin, we're expecting you
hashtag
back.
Justin.
Hashtag Justin. Get it trending. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show. He is returning for the second time here. Yeah. He is an author of a new self-help book, I guess. Would you call it that?
No, but all right.
What would you call it?
I don't know. I think it's pretty awesome. I don't know. Self-help is, I don't know. I feel
versus self-help.
Yeah, I just
which
think it's
bad.
Yeah, I think it's just a great book.
It's a help yourself book.
There you go.
All about the freelance life. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian Alawash.
Woohoo!
Come on out.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Great to have you back.
Hello. Welcome back. Why don't you pass that book over here, Pete? So we can show
one
to
lucky
people.
Audience member is going to get that tonight.
Yes, one lucky audience member is going to get this book that Pete hid behind his dirty Punisher slippers.
Hey, that's not true.
You hid it.
I didn't hide it. It's over here in our giveaway section,
right,
just, for the lucky audience members.
You put it lying down behind a pile of gross clothes.
That's not. They're not gross.
Yeah. Well, it makes a good table leveler.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I was actually looking for that. One of the legs on my table is a little shorter than the other.
The hardcover I recommend for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
definitely
if so, definitely pick up It's a Living, Surviving as a Freelancer in the 21st Century / a great table leveler.
Yeah, and it is for self-helplers.
It is.
People
would you call
that
it
help
a self-help
themselves.
Book?
Yeah, I'd like to think of it as a self-help and business a book for artists.
So nice. The last time we had you on, you were talking about your comic, Big Boss. Clearly, yep. You have learned some lessons there about the freelance life, about selling yourself out there, that you put into this book, which also is self-published. What's the biggest tip? Like, what's the number one tip?
You got to read the book. You can't just get the free information. You gotta
all
read
I'm
the
saying
book.
Is I don't have a lot of money. And if just break down the biggest tips real quick. You don't have to do that. But, yeah. Like, well, what was your big takeaway from making this book?
Well, first of all, I've been freelancing for over 17 years. So it wasn't just like, you know, since I've been
yeah,
doing
it wasn't just one book, and then I'm going to write another book about that one yeah. book I made. Yeah.
So
I had a good sandwich earlier, and I'm thinking about writing a book about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been freelancing for a long time, and along the way, I had a small press that was sole proprietorship, and then later I ran a corporation that did business as Masterpiece Art School, which was my art school back in Canada. So I've had some business experience, but between everything, I've always been freelancing. And actually, freelancing was what really saved me, because when I was starting out, I thought I could just self-publish books and sell art in cafes. Like that was, that's literally what I started at as. And then I became very quickly dead broke, and then the best kind of most creative 4 years of my life happened, and that was great. But I learned a lot. So I've had a couple of businesses, and I've been freelancing, and I just wanted to share this journey with other entrepreneurs or ambitious young artists that wanted to make a go of it working for themselves.
So the thing that is fascinating about trying to tackle something like this to me is that almost every business is different. Almost every approach to business is different. So how do you take those differing approaches to different professions and try to distill them down in a book like this?
Oh, that's a great question.
Don't say things like that. Gives them an ego.
I'm good for the show. Thank you.
I don't know if I really did that. I mean, like, I didn't really, I don't know if I really considered that aspect of when I was writing it. But I did, I mean.
Second book, you can always write a second book.
I do have a second book planned.
Nice.
I did try to make it generalized enough that it's inspiring for people that are outside, the creative arts. But mostly it's for creative artists or anybody that's even curious about the freelance artist lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And there are very interesting anecdotes, especially in the early and later chapters that focus on kind of more abstract elements, but whereas like the middle chapters, especially the online freelancing chapter, is like very hands-on and like instructive on what you have to say to win projects online. And I literally give you my personal template.
Oh, nice.
And I break it down, like why I even say hi instead of hello, and like, and then how you can.
Wait, why? Can you give that one away for free? Why do you say hi instead of hello?
Well, hello is like too formal.
Nice.
But I also always add the name. Yeah. And I don't say hey. It's too casual. So you don't know who's on the other side, you know. And then I always try to include the name. And if the name in a profile is like not like specific, where it's like just initials or something, or looks, it sounds odd, then I just leave it as hi. You know,
I always, whenever I'm sending letters, and Pete knows this from emails, I always say, "Hey, champ." Is that would you say that's the correct approach or the wrong approach?
Say it's wrong.
In any situation.
Well, if you know if it's like a woman, you can definitely say, "Hey, sweetheart."
You can.
That's not a good idea.
Toots? Does toots work?
Oh, what is happening?
It's a little
Let's stop
dated.
This yeah. now.
Can you send a subject ride that says "re your gabs"?
Oh my god,
re your gabs.
Your gabs—they're like legs. It's like a door.
Oh my god, you're so creepy, man.
This is not an act. What?
It's a weird thing to say.
I sent that letter to you.
Yeah, I know, and I was offended.
Re your gabs to at Pete LePage.
Oh man,
hate tuts.
What I like to do is I don't put anything in the email. I put it all in the subject. Just like, you know, I'll just
in capitals.
Yeah, caps. Just the whole thing I'm going to say.
Now, the funniest thing about this is not a joke.
It works though.
It does work.
You don't have to open my emails to read them.
But I can give you something a little bit useful right after that, which is like
this wasn't useful.
Well, because that's kind of like sounds generic, I think, if people are listening to it. But the very next line is, I always specify the project, but I say, I am perfect. That's my thing. Like, I am perfect for your blah, blah, blah project, because this is my specialty. And that's my hook. You know, like, I'm always perfect for every project.
Yeah. But what's interesting is I have a friend of mine who is trying to be a writer. And it's very interesting to me, like, how many jobs you have to take that aren't like writing or aren't doing the thing that you want to do so that you can, because he wants to write a novel. He's been working on his novel for years, but he's had to take all these freelance writing gigs that are just so different from that. And it's just very interesting, the hustle and the contests, you know, to kind of give yourself steam enough to kind of get yourself into these, like, mm-hmm. meetings or offices where people, will give you, like, gigs like that. So it's interesting to hear you talk about it as well.
I've had to do a lot of odd jobs that are still in the creative arts. Like, for example, when I started out early 2000s, it was kind of the end of, like, the tech boom. So I was, like, broke at home with, like, a dial-up connection. I had a free dial-up internet connection, if you can imagine that. I don't know how old people are here. But I started to bid on projects online, but what were available then were, like, a lot of website design projects. So I learned, like, coding. Mm-hmm. I did Flash animation when it was popular.
Wow.
I did a lot of logos, especially mascot logos, which were very popular around that time. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I transitioned to specializing into this kind of the subject that I wanted to. So I cut out, like, the web design services, cut out the Flash, and so on. And now, kind of my niche is I help other independents create comics and illustrations and some graphic designs. But I generally don't turn down work.
Smart.
This might be a little wonky for our comic book talk show, but I'm curious because we are talking about freelance stuff. One of the big issues happening right now, and I don't know if folks out here are familiar with it, but there's a law in California called AB5. Are you familiar with AB5?
Oh, I think I've come across it, but if you can remind me.
Okay, yeah, no problem. And I'll let the folks and the listening folks know as well. So it's this law that's been put forward by a state senator in California, which they have put into action, I believe, or is about to be put into action, that is an effort to combat permalance. So essentially for writers, it says you can write... you can write a maximum of 35 articles... And then beyond that, either the outlet needs to no longer hire you or hire you full time.
Yeah, I have heard of this. And I think the big issue, especially for writers, is that they write a lot of short little, like, 500, 1,000 word essays for modest money. And that doesn't work for them. And I think, like, people that are legislating that are have dated ideas of what the workforce is.
Yeah, it sounds like the idea works, but it also sounds too easy to be like, 35 and done, thanks, good luck in life.
Yeah, I mean, generally what's actually happened, their goal with the legislation was to say, well, of course, you're writing that much, you should be hired full time, but the companies have been like, great, so no more freelancers. Is our solution to this. Yeah, and a lot of people are losing work. And it is something I will mention to our listeners all over the country on the podcast that it's legislation that is being considered further places now. So if you see it anywhere, tell them just no, because that's bad. I think we can agree it's bad legislation.
Yeah, right? It doesn't work. But there are some faults in this kind of these kind of projects that are, like, so small, and they're like clickbait type articles.
Yeah.
So there is an issue with that, I think, the way people are monetizing art.
Well, I think, and tell me if you disagree with this, but I think one of the things there that I often tell people when we're talking about writing or jobs like that is value yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just take a job to take a job. Take a job and then figure out how much it's going to cost you in terms of time and energy to into it.
Yeah. And that's actually the dealing with clients chapter in It's a Living, which is the title of my book. I don't know if you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
It's a Living. It's on Amazon. And the dealing with clients chapter, I go into depth about negotiating with clients. Mm. And I try very hard not to vent about that because there is, like, a... I mean, clients, you can't live without them. Yeah. So they're cherished. You can't sell yourself short. And it's like, it's a fine line often. And you really have to pick your words like a lawyer. You know, you really have to kind of, every email is like, it's a strategy.
Sure, yeah.
Cool. And this is on sale now. It's self-published, so you can get it on Amazon. You can get it. Where else can you pick it up?
Well, it's distributed through Ingram as well as a hardcover, and it's on Drive-Thru Comics as well.
Nice.
All right. Very cool. It is called, title?
It's a Living, Surviving as a Freelancer in the 21st Century, the Ultimate Guide for Artists and Creative Professionals.
All right, there you go. Definitely pick that up online. Pete, you can go back to hiding this like you wanted to, and we're going to move on.
I'm not going to hide it, all right?
Let it sit awkwardly and grossly in your lap on your crotch.
You know, it wasn't gross until you said it was.
I mean, you're the one who did it. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this very week. But before we do that, let's talk about a special deal with comics, Pete. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. Speaking of comics.
That's how Pete was like, how are we going to get into this bit?
And how are we going to smoothly segue? And Zalvin's like, don't worry, I got it.
I'll say, speaking of comics, yeah. I came up with a better way of segueing it than you just torpedoed it.
Yeah, you're damn right I did.
Thanks, Pete. This is why we've been slowly dissoluting our partnership over the course of 14 years. So this is actually a deal from Zika's Viral Comics, who is one of our Patreon supporters for a very, very long time.
Yeah, they've been supporting us for a long time, so it's nice to be able to give back to them a little bit.
Yeah, so he sent out a deal. This is for listeners of Comic Book Club, so I'm just going to plug this here.
If there's some lines in this that really make me angry, so I'm looking forward to reading this out
this
loud.
Is, not only is this a great deal, it's pissing Pete off, so it's a great deal for
it's
me
It's a twofer
too.
For some people.
It's a twofer.
Or maybe it'll ruin it for some others.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Buy any comics from Zika's Viral where are you going?
I'm going to punch you for the shit that you fucking worked out.
I didn't do this.
Yes, you did.
No, get away from me.
No, you definitely set this up. You think Zika's Viral Comics put that wording in there?
I absolutely did not.
They did
He completely did this on his own.
No way.
I'll tell you what. Punch our Patreon members.
I'm not going to do that. They're
nice
people.
Let's have that as a level.
You did. You're telling
$2
me.
Tip charge for the show. $5, you get a thank you on the show, plus invitation to Buddy to the monthly
You're
movie
telling
night.
Me you had nothing to do with this.
How much do we do for Get Punched by Pete?
That nobody
like $1?
No.
$1?
It's ridiculous.
People love it. Love it.
All right, so read the thing, and then you tell me that wasn't you.
It wasn't me, I swear to God.
Swearing your children.
You know.
Yeah, it was you. It was you. You're getting punched. Read.
No, I paused.
Yes.
I paused because you know that.
Read it. Read and take your punches like a man, you asshole.
Pete, you know that doesn't mean anything if I swear on my children. I'll throw them right under that bus.
Yeah, that's true. You do throw your children under the bus all the time.
But God, right. You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Anyway, buy any comics from Zika's Viral Comics. It's on eBay. You can just do a search for Zika's Viral Comic. That's Z-I-K-A Viral Comics. Should be easy to find. You have to send a message before you pay for any of the comics. This is what's been pissing Pete off. The two messages are No Time for Arrow or I Love Frankencastle. You can send either of them. You must send those messages before you pay.
You did that.
I did not do that. I swear on my children. he'll take 10% off the purchase price, excluding shipping of whatever you buy. Also, he mentions combined shipping is available as generally 50 cents a dollar for trades. East extra unslab book, up to 10 books. Then no additional shipping charge after that, regardless of how many are bought. And most comics are listed at 50% of book value. I'll periodically select some comics to send at 99-cent auction starting price. Again, that's Zika's Viral Comics, and you have to use the message before you pay, either No Time for Arrow or I Love Frankencastle. Great deal, great service, great phrases.
Ooh.
Pete, how do you feel tonight's the last night of Arrow for this to happen to you?
Yeah, it's funny how that worked out. I'm sure it's all Zika that planned
it's
this.
It's all Zika.
You are a fucking lying son of a bitch.
Let's kick it off with the stack. First one to talk about, this is going to go wrong immediately.
Yep.
Amazing Spider-Man number 38 from Marvel Comics. Now a bunch of villains in the Marvel Universe are betting on Spider-Man. They're setting up bets. But what they've decided to do is, because usually you have the arcade situation of like, Spider-Man loses, the villains win, villains lose, Spider-Man wins, obviously it takes down Arcade. And they're like, no, let's bet on different things because, of course, Spider-Man's going to win, but how many times are they going to shoot him? How many times are they going to punch him? And they have a little bit of fun there. And I thought this book was super fun. I had a good time with it. We talked a little bit, without getting into spoilers, about a comic that's coming out from Marvel tomorrow that I had some quibbles with the journalism in. Mm-hmm. Here, J. Jonah Jameson is working for a clickbait journalism place that does clickbait headlines run by Nora Winters.
Does that bother you at all?
That seemed accurate to me.
Oh, wow.
That seemed accurate to
me. I thought they captured J. Jonah Jameson really well in this book. I thought that part was fun.
And there's a fun twist here where he, for a while now, he's known who Spider-Man is. He knows his identity and is now his biggest fan and supporter. But the way that he's doing it in this arc is just blowing up his spot and ruining everything for him putting all of these headlines on his clickbait journalism site, which I think is a fun twist.
Yeah.
But what upset me about this book...
Oh, here we go.
Because Nick Spencer, who famously made Captain America Hydra agent, and it was fucking upsetting, then has this thing where the character holds up, like, look, Captain America is still Hydra, and, like, won't fans freak out? Like, there's nothing better than fucking with people. And I was like, Nick Spencer, you evil son of a bitch. You couldn't just let it fucking slide. You have to keep bringing this shit up.
He's being self-aware. He's having fun. He's poking
himself.
Oh, it's
great. Yeah. Just playing with everybody's emotions. Remember when I made everybody so angry?
That was literally like one panel in the entire book. That ruined the entire book for you?
Yes. Yes, it did. I had to put it down and be like, you know what? You review this comic. We're going to talk about it on the show. It's important that you keep reading it. You can't just protest it and fucking not finish reading it because of this bullshit.
Really? You said that to yourself? Have you met yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. There we go. I thought it was good. You think don't pick it up because you want a panel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Don't fucking pick up this piece of shit. Don't encourage this fucking bullshit. You know, he's not good at writing.
Jesus, that's awful.
Well, how do you really feel?
Yeah.
Have exactly. What were your feelings? You regularly read some comics. Did you read any of the Hydra Cap stuff? Did you have any thoughts on that?
Is that like the old one where like Cap was part of Hydra?
Well, would you say old, like a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
No, I don't read like the new stuff. I'm kind of like more of an indie guy. I kind of support Piers, and
that's nice of you.
Yeah, and I try not to support too much Marvel and DC stuff.
Because they get enough support.
That's what I figure.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the debates, I don't know, I don't want to get too off track, but like one of the debates.
No, that's please, our show. That's our show. That's all we do all the time. That's the theme.
Well, I mean, I think there's less of this now, but like at conventions, you know, our independent artists that do prints of, and I may have some friends that might not agree with my opinion, but hey. But some artists that do prints of popular characters without licensing rights, just to, I guess, make their table costs. Okay, so that's the argument.
Right.
But that makes it extremely, not extremely, but like it makes it harder for individuals like myself that creates authentic, like original content.
Right.
And it would, I mean, and I do it legally.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I mean, what are your feelings about that?
Well, have you ever had that? It's tough.
I think, can I interrupt? This is Pete's advice probably, is set them on fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my first.
I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't sure where it was going. There's a couple things. I mean, one, it sucks that, like, as conventions are getting bigger and more popular, it seems like the comics keep getting pushed more to the side, which is upsetting. Right. You know, there's so much other things going on, which is cool. For maybe not comic book fans, but for people who are going to conventions and wanting maybe something else. You know, it's a nice, like, there's something for everybody at conventions, which is great. But also, it's just sad to see that, like, you know, if Artist Alley is not well prominent, or if, like, there is just, like, so many other things that, like, the people who are selling comic books or work on comic books don't get the spotlight that they deserve, you know? But there's also something to be said of, like, here's an artist who's trying to make a name for himself, and, like, hey, for $5, $10, I can draw Spider-Man on the Empire State Building with a picture of your mom. You know, like, whatever.
Well, so, half as good as the professionals.
Right, right. You know, so it's like, I understand that because it's like, hey, I'm trying to cut my teeth. I'm trying to make my table cost. Like, I'm not going to get mad at that, you know. But if it's something that, like, you're taking somebody else's art and then kind of just putting your name on it, that's kind of upsetting.
I don't mean to interrupt you. That was a very impassioned thing. I just got stuck on one thing. Have you seen that? Is somebody drawing pictures of Spider-Man with your mom?
No, I'm just saying that, usually when you go to Artist Alley, someone be like, hey, can you draw, whatever, Wonder Woman or Invisible Jet? Hey, can you draw, you know, like, I have a picture of my brother. It really mean a lot to him since you drew Hellboy. Can you put my brother's face on Hellboy? Whatever. Like, I'm sure they get crazy shit.
Sure. I would love it, though, if somebody had a very specific stand. We'll draw Spider-Man with your mom, and you go up, and you're like, actually, I just have a dad. I'd love it with my dad. And he's like, no, sorry.
He's like, I'll only draw moms. You'll have to
go somewhere else.
Yeah. Actually, I have done commissions like that, but not at conventions, where I, you know, like, I get requests, like, to draw family members for presents. So I'll do, like, a poster of...
Oh, see, that's awesome.
Oh, really? Spider-Man, Spider-Man or without Spider-Man?
No, it's like that, like some loved one as Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or Spider-Woman or
whatever. Do you other than moms as well?
That I'm perfect for those kind of jobs, and it's my specialty.
Nice.
There we go. Let's move on to our second comic in the... Oh, now you're putting it up because you like that joke. I see what you did.
No, it fell down. I laughed so hard and I was just putting it back up. Oh, okay. You're just an evil person. You're just fucking evil, man.
I mean, listen, we've talked about this already. Justin isn't here, so the buffer zone is gone.
That's true.
So it's all needles all the time. Yep. Fantastic Four number 18, also from Marvel Comics. Now, there is a big, huge retcon that Dan Slott has been doing to the Fantastic Four. Turns out the cosmic rays that hit them weren't accidental. They were on purpose. They were by design. There was somebody who was attacking them. And they, in turn, have gone to find out what's going on with this. They discovered that this dude has done it to a lot of other creatures. And specifically in this issue, Ben Grimm goes after it because he's like, what the fuck? You fucked up my life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah. You turned me into this thing.
How'd you feel about this, Pete?
This was a great, great comic. Dan Slott's writing the crap out of this. I thought this was a really amazing issue. It had some real heart in it. It was really funny. Classic kind of Dan Slott. I really appreciated this book, and I thought it was fun because it's like, yeah, you know, you don't really think about it like, oh, some cosmic rays turned them into Fantastic Four, but like, where the fuck did that come from? So it's a nice kind of like, examination.
I mean, I always thought the cosmos, but I guess not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of mixed about this. I want to see how this storyline pans out because it is such a huge change to make something that was accidental and has affected so many years of history into something purposeful. I do wonder how that pans out and changes the characters intrinsically as you go forward. Every issue that he writes is good and solid. He has a love for the characters that comes through. But a lot of this is going to be about how it finishes up, I think.
Right, yeah, like most comics. But also I think that like there was a real interesting thing with Mr. Fantastic being like, hey, Johnny Storm, like, we just got here. You're like a little too involved too early. And I think that was kind of cool to kind of like call him out a little bit on that.
All right. Last one to talk about, also from Marvel Comics, Marauders number 6. This is taking place in the X-Men line. Kitty Pryde, now called Kate Pryde, is a pirate. She is doing...
A badass pirate.
She's doing mutant-related piratey things with her pirate crew. Yeah. And everything goes wrong this issue with a heart-stopping moment that you wouldn't believe right at the end.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It is very fucked up, very upsetting.
How are you doing? Kitty Pryde's one of your favorite.
Yeah, I think we could spoil it, right? So most of this book, I think Jerry Duggan is doing such a great job of making it this really fun hangout book. Like, there's a very... I was trying to think of the right word, but it's like it's almost like a hangdog vibe to it, where everybody's like, I don't fucking know what's going on with this. There's a bunch of villains. Let's just hit them with our swords, get through this so we can just go on to the next thing and do our jobs, which I love that tone. He's nailing that really well. But at the end, it turns out Sebastian Shaw, the Black King, has been building this whole plan because he doesn't like the fact that Kitty Pryde, two things about her. One, she is the Red Queen for the new island nation of Krakoa, but she also can't enter Krakoa for some reason, and nobody knows why. That's one of the big mysteries of the series. So Sebastian Shaw is like, you know what? You've been rejected by mutant society. It's going to be better for everybody if I just take you off the board if I kill you. So he takes Lockheed, her cute little dragon, puts him in a net.
Oh, that killed me.
Throws him in the ocean.
Oh.
And then takes Kitty Pryde and ties her up with something that doesn't allow her to phase, throws her in the ocean. She's like, well, I'm going to come back because all mutants come back. And he's like, no, you can't get to Krakoa. So you're not going to resurrect or anything like that. You're dead. Nice knowing you. And that's how they end.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I know they're going to be fine. I know they're going to come
How do you know
back
that?
Because I've read comic books before.
Yeah, but you don't know how this comic's going to end.
Sure, but they do the work here to make you feel like they are dying, and that's the important part.
Yeah.
What?
That's a fucked up thing to say.
It's true.
Yeah, I just hope that it's not true, especially with Lockheed. That was really just
If they kill Kitty Pryde, I'm done with comics entirely.
Oh!
They wouldn't do it.
Bold statement.
They wouldn't do it.
That would be funny to see you have to hold up that year end and also host a comic book talk show.
Do you want to do like a blood pact or something?
No.
And we can slice our palms?
No.
That's
Let's just, that's I, the, there's a recording of this. We can just play it back and say you said
I will
that.
Go get a knife right now. We can slice our palms and rub the blood together.
No. Yeah.
As some sort of blood pact.
Nope.
We've talked about this. Why do people do that?
I don't know. It's just it's really like dumb, especially to cut your hand like that. It's on a useful
part. You
gotta
use
part.
Your hand every day.
Yeah, like the top of your finger would be so much smarter.
Later, the back of your hand.
Yeah.
You use that to pick up things a lot less.
Yeah.
Do you have any, Christian, want to weigh in on this one?
I don't know.
Okay. That's no, the correct answer.
I was going to say something like way off color, like maybe syringes are better. But that's like
no, they are better. That's not all color. You're right. Slicing your palm, which everybody does in every Supernatural show, makes no sense.
Yep.
Get it together.
I think
great suggestion. That
neither are good.
No, that was great. That was great. You're doing great. And you're doing great. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah!
All right, folks. We are going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you make it up. It's your audience questions. That are going to come out to you all. You're going to ask your questions. And Pete, what do you want to say?
Well, I just want to ask you, how are we going to do this? Is he going to pick his favorite question that gets the book? All right, great.
That's what we've been doing for 14 years.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah, so choose. Just listen to the questions.
Okay.
Choose your favorite question,
uh-huh.
And that person will get the copy of your book.
All right. Ooh.
Sound good? At the end, in case that wasn't clear, but I think that was clear. All right, Kevin, let's go over to you. I saw your hand up first. What's your question?
I'm going to ask the reverse of what Pete mentioned earlier. What is a comic, or if you want to change it, what is a movie, where you're like, okay, yeah, this is okay, I'm not really loving it, and then there's just the one panel you absolutely adore.
Oh, yeah.
Or a movie with, like, just the one scene you just love.
Interesting.
That's a great question.
Movie.
I mean, just briefly, if I could say, like, I think most films or most comics only have one or two things that are really great. And if any film or comic do one thing that's, like, phenomenal, mm-hmm. like, that's the one thing that makes you want to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, especially comedies, it's like if I want to rewatch a comedy, I just think of like if there's like one scene that I'm really looking forward to reliving. So I think it's the same for comics. If it's usually one panel, but with comics sometimes you notice other things like films, I guess.
Yeah. Same thing.
Do you have any answer, Pete?
Yeah, I do. I also just wanted to say kind of on that a little bit. Like sometimes a movie can suck, but if it ends well, like it makes me really go back. Like for me, Bulletproof, like. Had such a great ending.
Bulletproof?
Ooh, not Bulletproof. Death Proof. That's what I'm thinking of. Death Proof.
Oh, okay.
Had such a badass ending that it really kind of made... I mean, it was a good movie overall, but like that ending was just so fantastic. Makes me watch it over and over again. Yeah. I would say the panel, for me, and we talked about this on the show, in Schism, the comic book, when Wolverine walks past that picture.
Oh.
It was just such a...
walks past that picture?
There was like a picture of the hallway, and I think it's like this... and it has like Jean Grey or something on it, and it just like causes him to pause for a little bit, and it's just like so powerful.
That's crazy that you mentioned that and not the best panel in Schism, which is, so Schism is about like Cyclops and Wolverine having ideological differences about the future of the X-Men.
Right.
And I always get this quote wrong, but this is how I remember it regardless. But they're just standing on the beach of the island off San Francisco where they've been living. There's this sentinel that's been coming towards them and is getting ready to kill them. And they're just fighting about their different ideology about the X-Men. And in the middle of it, Wolverine, it's Wolverine, right? Does anybody remember this? I think it's Wolverine turns to Cyclops and says, "She never loved you anyway."
Yep.
And it cuts back to Cyclops, and you just see his face scrunch up, and the next panel is them murdering each other. Mm-hmm. And it's this thing where just like, to the point, like, Schism is fine. It's a fun comic. Jason Aaron wrote it. He's always very good at writing.
Yep.
But it's that one...
Art's really good, too.
The art's very good as well, but it is that one scene that I think about all the time when I think about Cyclops and Wolverine, that just like... at any moment that bomb could drop, that could destroy both of them, and it's great.
Well, there's a long history there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's incredible when you can get that long history and then distill it down into one line that almost seems to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But that's great. Any other answers? One panel or one scene?
Well, the cover. You know, like, usually it's more the cover, I think, with comics than it is a panel. I think, I've bought lots of comics
just based on the cover.
Yeah, and I would crack them open and they could suck inside, but the cover's just so good.
All right, there we go. Hopefully that was an all right answer. Do we have another question from anybody about anything? You're going to get some free comics.
Free
question about anything can be about comics, about movies, about, you know, food, like great places to freelancing. That's more appropriate.
Yeah, writing.
Anybody? No? Nothing? Nobody wants a free book? Well, let's see. What was your favorite question, Christian? Which was your favorite? Just a reminder, there's a question about the
favorite
best
panel.
Favorite panel or movie scene.
All right, here we go.
And that's, there you go.
All right.
Really? Nobody else?
Don't fight for it.
No questions?
Please don't fight for
it. All right. That's it for your audience questions. Thanks, everybody.
They just wanted Kevin to win. That's what the audience was like. You know what? That was such a great question.
Yeah, there was a lady in the back who was like, "Well, I fucking give up."
Oh.
That's it. That question was too good.
Yep.
She's just back there sobbing right now because Kevin's question was so good. So I hope you enjoy the book, Kevin. It's a good
one. Now I feel bad for the lady in the back that you've just told everybody was crying in the back.
It's not true.
Oh, okay, good.
why don't we move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of your hand. I know we're asking you to raise your hand again, which isn't very popular.
There
yes, casual hand up guy. Come on down.
There we
thank
go.
You, sir.
Come over here, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What is your name, sir?
Adam.
Adam, audience. Audience, Adam. All right. Today's trivia is on topical comic and gaming news, okay? Listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. All right, Adam, I believe in you. All right, here we go. In the new Shadow of Batgirl book written by Sarah Kuhn, who is the main character? Is it A, Cassandra Cain? Is it B, Barbara Gordon? Or is it C, Clark Gregg?
Hey, Cassandra Cain.
You are correct, sir. $25 almost yours. So close. Here we go. Question number two. Where is the first ever Atari-themed hotel going? Is it A, I'm very excited about this. Is it A, Tokyo, Japan? B, Phoenix, Arizona? Or is it C, Gary Cole? So it's either A or it's B.
What happened to C?
C is it's not a real viable answer. I'm not. Don't pick C.
Let's go with B.
B is correct. Oh, I almost gave it away. You got one more question left. Woo! That was close. I almost gave it to you. All right, here we go. Question number three. Jason Aaron is excited to feature what character in his Avengers book? Is it A, Moon Knight? Is it B, Hit Monkey? Or is it C, Lee Garlington? So it's either A, and you win $25, or you could pick something else and be completely wrong.
All right, I'm going to go with A.
A is correct. $25 right. Yours, sir. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you so much. Great job. And now, I know I said audience questions is my favorite part of the show because you make it up, but this is actually my favorite part of the show, where I get to reveal that Pete has been hiding a quiz inside of his quiz. This is a fun thing that he does where the third answers of his questions, I can hardly believe it myself, are actors from a movie with Robin Williams.
Yep, that's right.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's great. That's very on topic. Pete, what were the three actors this week?
Clark Gregg.
Right. From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Gary Cole.
Gary Cole, also from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Who's and the third Lee one? Garlington.
Lee Garlington, also from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm. I'm going to say this is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is that correct?
Nope.
All right. Of those three actors, then, not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. somehow, which I think Robin Williams was on, what movie is this? Anybody? Anybody?
Yeah, yes.
Ooh, over here. Wait, hold on. What Robin Williams movie, confusingly, is this?
Is it Patch Adams?
It is not Patch Adams.
Ooh,
it's a good guess.
That's a
good guess.
Does anybody else have a guess of what Robin Williams movie it is? Mm-hmm. And just remember, this is a
is
comic book. This is a comic book show. Oh. So it's
don't
not
confuse them.
So it's not applicable at all to what Pete is talking about.
No. But it kind of, you know, because of the place that he works in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Having
one hour
to do
photo?
With... Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got it right.
Wait, where were you going with that?
I was just going to say there's pictures in comic books.
Oh, okay.
And there's a photo place.
I think
place.
That's actually what made me figure it out.
Yeah.
Which was it?
One hour photo. Oh, yeah. Again, you have to remember this has nothing to do with comic books, and it's nonsensical.
That's the one
all right.
Seen.
Let's move on. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm very much looking forward to this book. I'm very excited. I didn't know that this was coming out, and I'm super pumped about it. Deadpool The End, written by Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly is coming back and writing Deadpool. I'm very excited about that.
That is awesome. That is very exciting. There's a ton of great stuff coming out tomorrow, but I'm really looking forward to Something is Killing the Children, number five, Boom Studios. This is a great, great horror title about a... It's not exactly Buffy the Vampire Slayer-esque, but like it's a monster hunter who comes to a town, is trying to find out what is killing the children. Spoiler, it's an enormous, horrific monster that's killing the children. It all goes down this issue. But what they're building up in the background is this funny, weird, fascinating mythology. We'll have a review of that on our Stack podcast that goes up Wednesdays at 9 a.m.
The writing's unbelievable, but the art alone is worth picking up.
Yeah, this is written by James Tynion IV and illustrated by Werther Del Eddie or Daria. Deladeria?
Deladeria.
I don't know why I'm looking at you, but there we go. But definitely check that out. It is an awesome title. Christian, what do you want to plug? What should people be checking out from you?
I don't know if you heard, but I have a new book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, where should people check it out again?
The Big Boss comic, which is on Instagram, @BigBossComic, is still up, and you could read it for free on Instagram.
Nice.
The book It's a Living is on Amazon, and that's that and like Drive Through Comics, but
cool.
It's definitely on Amazon. Kindle, there's hardcover and softcover. Softcover feels great. It's like it's got a nice cream interior, which I'm happy about. Good quality paper.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like a good quality paper. That's awesome.
Yeah, as a self-publisher, like for over 20 years, because I self-published my first graphic novel in high school. I was 18, and So I have a lot of fond memories of going to the printers, printing, picking out paper, negotiating, you know. I appreciate the print.
Awesome. We'll definitely check all of that out. A couple of things from us before we wrap up here. As we kind of teased a little bit earlier, we do have a Patreon if you want to support this show and other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a bunch more podcasts that are going on right now. Ooh, boy, so many podcasts. First one I'll mention, we're just getting to the point where we're wrapping up Chilling Podcast of Sabrina, our Chilling Adventures of Sabrina podcast. We've been recapping part three. What?
One more ep left.
One more ep left to go. How are you feeling? You okay, Pete?
I'm very scared. That seventh episode made me very angry.
Yeah, I know it did. You were yelling at me a lot last night.
Yep.
Also, Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast is back, and we recap that show every week. One that we're very excited about, we have a new podcast called Lock and Key Unlocked, which is counting down to the new Netflix series. What we've been doing is we've been recapping every volume of the series, and if you subscribe specifically to the Lock and Key Unlocked feed, because we've been rolling out some of the episodes of the Comic Book Club feed, we have some special interviews there. We did a new hour-long interview with Gabriel Rodriguez, the artist of Lock and Key. It was so much fun to catch up with him again. Yep. And talk to him about the Netflix show, about the series, what's coming next. We also have a replay podcast with Joe Hill, the writer of the series, coming up. We found an old show of ours that we did with him. Yep. Added a new intro and outro, and so that should be going up there. And then just last night, we did an interview with Chris Ryle, the editor of Lock and Key, that should be going up sometime next week. So in among all of that, we also have the Lock and Key episodes as they come out on February 7th that we'll be recapping. So lots of exciting stuff, particularly for us because we love Lock and Key.
We
going
do.
Out there. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
On Twitter, you can follow us at Comic Book Live, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. And please comment on iTunes in particular because that helps us out quite a bit. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. Before we go, we want to thank Christian for being on the show.
Thank you.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you all. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it.